It's been a rich blessing to worship with the folks at Bellflower this weekend, the other folks from California, from Texas. What a blessing. This is only in the Lord's kingdom that you get to partake of these rich blessings. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to fellowship with you all. Thank the Lord. Several from Lindsay are here to experience this weekend as well. And just pray for the Lord to bless us this morning to study from his word. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. You come into a meeting like this and your mind is one way, and then the preached word that comes in power and in demonstration of the Spirit, it affects you and it stirs your mind, sometimes in a different direction. I pray the Lord would bless what we look at this morning. This morning, a very familiar passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 53, we read this, and he says, just to pick up in verse 3 that we might focus upon this, he says, "He is despised," speaking of Christ, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Familiar portion of passage that I've read so many times, and it wasn't until yesterday evening I read it again, and I saw something I'd never seen before. God's word is like that. It's a treasure trove, isn't it? It's a rich mine that we continue to bring forth things, both old and new. And these other brothers are probably going to say, "Well, I've seen that before," but I hadn't. I've probably heard it preached on. What is the name and the title given to this man? He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What did he bear for us? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I had never seen that before. The title given to Christ is that which he bore for us. Wow. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It's interesting that here Isaiah, in prophecy of what Christ would fulfill, doesn't start with the cause of the issue, but starts with the problems that came because of sin. He doesn't start with the transgressions and say that Christ paid the penalty of them, but he starts with the results of transgression, the results of sin, the sorrow and the grief that came from our sin. That word sorrow is the same word that it's spoken of, that God looked down upon the nation of Israel as they were in Egypt and under the strict taskmasters of Egypt, and he said that they were in sorrow. Right? When they were told to do tasks that they were unable to do, right? And the great burden that was upon them because of the world in which they lived in Egypt, right? That word grief has to do with our affliction, our infirmities, our griefs. And we know that all of that stems from sin. But here, Isaiah first says that he's borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. You know, that's a very practical message, is it not? Oh, it's doctrinal, but I believe it also causes us to consider Christ as our great high priest in a very practical manner. That God carries your burden.
Yes.
God carries your griefs and your sorrows. And Christ carried the greatest burden and was successful in delivering us from that burden. That's what Isaiah prophesies, and that's what we hold to be true as a people, and we rejoice in is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, from this passage, you see a great contrast, do you not? You see a contrast between what Jesus did and the people for whom he did it.
Yeah.
And we heard about that this weekend, how that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for his enemies. Christ died for those who despised him, for those who esteemed him not. You say, "Well, that wasn't me." Well, he says, "And we esteemed him not." We didn't account him to be that which he truly is. Is that your case in life, that we don't esteem him as we ought to? Even in all my greatest efforts to esteem Christ as he ought to be, I fall short. But here, he was esteemed not by his people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He didn't walk through this life on, as one of our hymns says, on flowery beds of ease. He didn't walk through this life living in the palaces and the mansions. He was born in a manger. He was born to common parents. He was born into a life that would be relatable to those who walk through this world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He says, 2 Corinthians 5 said that he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might circle back to that. He says in Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the what? In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Wow. Wow. God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be sin for us who knew no sin. I love that qualification, right? To be made sin for us who knew no sin. You know, that's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? 2 Corinthians. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I believe what that's saying, and it's interesting, the Old Testament, if you look up the word sin, sometimes it's translated as sin, and sometimes it's translated as sin offering. And I think that's the idea here in this passage, that he hath made him to be the sin offering for us, the sin bearer for us, the sin carrier for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And here, Isaiah points this picture that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's a picture that he's painting for us. Have you ever had a load that's too heavy to carry? Maybe it's a physical load that's too heavy to carry. But the greatest loads in this life aren't physical loads. They're spiritual loads. They are burdens that weigh our soul, that you can't move, that you try to push against, you try to affect, you try to change. You spoke about Abraham who had a load, had a burden, and he tried it his way to carry that himself. It only made it worse. But our God is the God who carries our burdens, who has and who will continue to carry our burdens. You think about this passage in Isaiah, and my mind goes to the Day of Atonement, and Brother Daniel probably wisely didn't go into the details, and I guess I'll go into a few of the details, but you've got a few things going on in Leviticus chapter 16 where you have the two goats that come before, and there's one goat that's offered as a sacrifice that dies for the sins of the people of Israel, and then you have another goat that's referred to as a scapegoat, upon whom the sins of Israel are pronounced, and that goat is taken away into an uninhabited land. And you say, which one is a picture of Christ? And I say, both. And not only the goats are a picture of Christ, but the priest who offers the sacrifice is a picture of Christ, and the fit man who carries the scapegoat into the wilderness, into uninhabited land, is also a picture of Christ. I believe the entire day, the entire episode, the entire instructions given to God about how we should learn about the atonement, about how God paid for our sins and reconciled us back to him, is a picture of the work of Christ that's given to us. And just to focus in on that which is upon my mind this morning, that scapegoat, picking up in verse 20, says, "And when he hath made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar," this is after that first offering was made of the first goat, says, "And Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him," y'all, I love these three little letters, "all." "Confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel," God's chosen people. all of the iniquities of the children of Israel and all of their transgressions in all of their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. What a beautiful picture of what Christ did for us. How tremendous to consider that Christ didn't just bear some of our burdens. He bore them all. He didn't just bear some of our sins. He bore them all. Not just 99 and leaving us one to deal with, but all of the sins of all of the children of God for all time were borne by one sacrifice, by one scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous to have that understanding, to have the peace that comes with that understanding of the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous load was placed upon his shoulders. I can't fathom that. Because, you know, I try to just carry my own load, and it's too much. It's too heavy. But here Christ bore the sins of all of the elect family of God, as this picture is given. And I love the picture of also the fit man, one who is able, one who is capable to take away those sins. And I also love the picture that the fit man returns to the camp.
That's right.
The fit man returns to say that the job was completed.
Amen.
The sins were left in an uninhabited land. An inhabited land. I love that because that's where you and I cannot dwell.
Mm-hmm.
So far, our sins were taken away from us. Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. That fit man, our Lord Jesus Christ, carried our burdens, carried the load of our sins, and separated us so far away from the east is from the west. Brother Daniel, I'm going to steal your line. I'm going to assume nothing. I'm going to assume you haven't heard it before because we can still rejoice in it. Because Jesus Christ carried our sins as far as the east is from the west. If he carried them as far as the north is from the south, that's not far enough. But as far as the east is from the west. If you go north, eventually you get up to the North Pole and you'll start going south. But if you go east, you'll always be going east. And if you go west, you'll always be going west. So far apart has our fit man, has the Lord Jesus Christ carried the greatest load of our sin away from us to an uninhabited land. You can't go there. You can't be reunited with your sin. You can't be reunited
Amen.
With that burden.
Amen.
It's separated from
Amen.
You. He's accomplished that salvation for all of his people, for all of their sins,
right.
for all time. Wow. Amen. Are you thankful to be among a people who believe in that and rejoice in that?
Amen.
I thank the Lord for you all. What would I do without you? What would I do without the fellowship of the saints that hold to that truth? Isaiah makes this point and goes into some detail about it. But it's so intriguing to me that he starts with our griefs and our sorrows. He continues on in verse 10 and says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." I think that's very similar to what he said in 2 Corinthians 5 when he says that he hath made him to be sin for us. He shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see of his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, of the results of what his labor and his work accomplished. As a woman in childbirth goes through great travail, and yet there's the joy of what that travail accomplished, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall what? He shall bear their iniquities. He shall carry their iniquities. He says in verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for" who? He emphasizes again, there's a disconnect between who this service was performed and who he still bears intercession for, but intercession for the transgressors. All right, now I need a little bit of prayers, because the other passage that's on my mind, and I want to get out of the way for Brother Daniel, is Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. And I'm going backwards. But here in Isaiah 46, Isaiah says there's these other false gods, Bel and Nebo. And it says, Bel and Nebo stoopeth, Bel boweth down, and Nebo stoopeth, and their idols were upon their beasts and upon their cattle, and your carriages were heavy laden, and they are a burden to the weary beast. These are false gods, and it's interesting. You say, what is this bowing down, and what is this stooping? There's different ways to look at that. I think it goes back to verse 23 and verse 45. Lord willing, this will connect. Y'all pray to that end. But in verse 23 of the previous chapter, he says that unto God, he says, I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. There's a bowing down by every knee, right? I love that in the New Testament. Who is that verse applied to? That to the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Don't tell me that Paul didn't believe, that Peter didn't believe, that the apostles didn't believe that Jesus was God, if they're going to use that verse and apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly says that that's God to whom every knee and every tongue is confessing, bowing and confessing. That is a cornerstone of our faith, that Jesus Christ is the everlasting God, the everlasting Prince of Peace. So Bel boweth down before him, false god. Nebo stoopeth. Those false gods of this world, oh, we don't have those anymore. We don't have those idols of our own construction. Oh, we have them as a daily challenge, do we not? They are the things in our life that say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help alleviate the pain of this life. And we run to them, and then they end up hurting us even more. They end up adding to the burden rather than lightening the load. We all have our bells. We all have our Nebos that we build of our own construction to say, this is the way I can solve the problem. This is the way I can gain relief. This is the way the weariness of this life, the burdens, the sorrows can be lifted. And we construct those false gods. And we bow down to those false gods. You know, at the end of the day, they're just another burden in our cart that we carry around. Yeah. And the people of God at this point had bowed down to those gods, and now they're packing them away into captivity with them. The consequence of following after those gods, and then they're still carrying those burdens. It says they're heavy laden and a burden to the weary beasts. They stoop and bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and the remnant of the house of Israel. And I love this passage. He says, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to the hoar hairs will I carry you and have made, and I will bear, even will I carry and will deliver you. Oh, that's precious. Those other things, those other idols in this world, they don't carry us. We carry them, and they're a weight in our life. But who is like unto our God? Who is like unto his help and his deliverance? He's the same one who carried the heavy load of our sins, who is successful in redeeming us from that. And he's the same one who carries our loads in this life, who carries our burdens. You know, you think back, and the joke was made many times this week, well, I don't remember when I was born naturally, and I don't remember when I was born spiritually, and there's so much truth in that. I don't remember probably the first 3 years of my life. Do you know who was taking care of you then? The Lord. when you're essentially powerless, helpless, the Lord bless you with parents or bless you with someone to come in who cared for you and took care of you, but ultimately it was the Lord who carried you. And it's the Lord who carries us all through this life. He is our guide and He is our God from the beginning until we close our eyes in this life and open them in glory. He carries us. It's of our own foolish ideas that we carry ourselves. It's Him. It's Him who redeemed us. It's Him who carries us. It's Him who gives us strength for our day. It's Him who encourages churches and strengthens churches. I love the passage in the New Testament that we are, and it's a, I love the verb that's used. It says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. We as a people know beyond all other, we as a people know the depth that God cares for us. Casting all your cares upon Him. And I love that's in this church setting. Do you know it's easier to cast your cares upon Him in the church setting, to come together and assemble as a people and give your burdens to the Lord? It's a lot harder by yourself to remind yourself the goodness of your God, but that's the purpose of its church, to collectively cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And the Lord here in His might and His power, He is a God that if we, as Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain you. Jesus in His ministry said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that you're worried and anxious and fretting about will be added unto you. We believe that our God is a God who carries and has carried our burden and will carry our burden, but ultimately He's carrying us in the palm of His hand, through this life and all the challenges that we face. But ultimately, one day, He'll carry us with the wings of His love to His Father's house. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. He says, if I go, I will come again, and I will take you myself to that blessed abode, the same God who's carried us, carried our sin, took it away from us, who carried us in our youth, who carried us through the challenges of who will carry us through the challenge of this life, will carry us to glory. He's the God that's able, the God that has promised He will. May God richly bless you all. May God richly bless you, Brother Daniel. Thankful to be with you.